Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
It's just reached them, and in fact, it's hotter there than it is here this year, so I feel bad for them. I think we should talk about cool things, because it is, in fact, pretty warm. One cool thing is that you can cut those tomato plants back. You can even cut those pepper plants back. I have just done that, and let them start up again, but you do have to give them a little fertilizer when you do that. That will give you the start of a cool fall harvest. It's also time to start thinking about onions, and I have questions every year about onions, but it's never at the right time. People want to know, like right now, when can I plant onions? Well, you can plant onions in the fall, unless you're in, say, North Mississippi. The closer you get to Memphis, the more you need to wait until, like, potato time in February, okay? But the main thing to know is that because we have such a limited amount of really cool weather, and it's less and less all the time, more and more people, I think, going up into even to Arkansas, are starting to understand that we have to do short day onions. Now, those varieties are, like, I really love Grand X onions. They're delicious. Vidalia onions are terrific. Red Creole are terrific. But these are the ones that will begin bulbing when the daylight is 10 to 12 hours rather than needing it to be 12 to 14, which is what it takes for the northern varieties, because that's how they fit into their weather patterns there. So if you want to think about this and you want to grow from seed, this is the time to order those seeds for this planting in the fall, anywhere except North Mississippi or Memphis or further north. And then you also want to realize that you've got to pick a variety that is a short day. Okay? We can talk about more stuff like about that if you'd like to, because there literally are a lot of questions. We talk about planting leeks in the fall for the winter to grow over to the winter and harvest in springtime. And that's one of those things that we grow in a trench in the onion family. And the reason we do that is so that we can fill in as they grow. You know, we plant them in a depression, and then we can fill in around them as they grow. And that allows a large part of their onionness to stay white. And that's what makes the delicious leek, is your growing of it. Some people will just seed leeks and leave them alone and let them go, and they get a whole lot of nice, interesting tasting green leeky leaves, but you're not going to get as much of that beautiful white bat as you will if you grow them in the way that they're intended. Now, are we going to get you to plant onions, Lance? I don't know, but
I love onions.
If you go if you go to the garden center or any place where you're buying this sort of stuff, particularly around the fall, there'll be onion sets. And those are usually easier to grow than growing it from seed, because onion seeds are real small and a lot of things eat them.
A lot of things eat them. Well, see, I have my question would be, do they need to be in a place where you have full all-day sun, or are they one of those that kind of likes it a little bit shady at times?
Yeah, it can be afternoon shade. They'll still do okay. But you could plant them underneath where you've had the tomatoes, for example, and they'll just grow through the winter after the tomatoes are gone.
That's what I need to be doing. I love onions. Absolutely. I have to have them on just about everything. You know, I'm not.
Well, let's face it. When the price of onions goes up, we notice that.
I'd like to save some money. I don't mind growing stuff. I mean, my tomatoes were okay as far as the yield. Mm-hmm. The deliciousness was second to none. A little bit of a pain in the butt with all the water and rain. But I called you yesterday, and I'm like, I know you don't want to hear this. More tomato questions.
More tomatoes.
But
more
you
tomatoes.
Were excellent, and thank you, because the advice you gave as far as what to cut, leading up to my cutting, and I did exactly what you said. Mm-hmm. And the plants have really pushed upward and thrown a ton of flowers out, as I was telling you. So
hopefully they're trying.
They're working. Yeah. So you were exactly right, and thanks. I always learn.
Sure.
Tomatoes, though, have been one that I've always enjoyed growing, because it's so immediate. Once they're ready, you just pull them and eat them. I mean, and then you taste it. And I don't know if I've bought one at the store as delicious as these have been, as tangy and juicy.
Good.
They weren't as big as I was hoping. Kind of like the sunflowers this year. They just didn't get the big head. I don't know if I didn't have enough sun, but the rain, it's just been
didn't
so
help.
Wet. Yeah.
Did not help. Absolutely.
That was part
You've
of it.
You've got some beautiful photos up today at supertalk.tv. And I'm looking right now at some impatiens in a pot. I'm not going to guess which garden center that's at, but I can see that it has a little bit of creeping Jenny coming out the side of the container. That's the best place to grow that creeping Jenny, because it will spread over and it'll climb up your leg if you stand still too long. So give yourself a chance to use it in containers, because it's beautiful for that chartreusey kind of color. I love that contrast. It's really delightful. Also looking at some other really beautiful grasshopper critter thing. Oh, no, that's a praying mantis. But anyway,
mantis.
Yeah, that's pretty. It's, the arm doesn't look so good, but the mantis looks
okay.
What
are we looking at there?
Yeah, I think the mantis is winning this one. But there's also information that's coming around to you. Yep, starfish flowers. They do smell, you know. What's a stapeliad? So get yourself over to supertalk.tv and enjoy the show today. It's fun. Thanks to Peaches for putting us up in the front of all of that. I have, for housekeepers everywhere, none of us probably keep house as well as the house might like, but we do our best as we can. We've always heard of dust bunnies in the South, okay? That's when you don't have, you might not even own a cat or dog, you might not ever open your doors, but I'm telling you, when you sweep under the bed, there's going to be a dust bunny, right? That's just the way that goes. Well, turns out there's other names for them. We may have to think about it. Curly dirt? That sounds much worse, doesn't it? House moss? I don't know. These are all very tough, but they are pesky, and they're fluff balls that appear everywhere, no matter what kind of architecture, what kind of house, anything you've got, you're going to have them at some point. So I just wanted you to know that there's some other names for them. I don't know that much about millipedes. I had somebody send me a note, and then I saw this story. She said that the millipedes had taken over for the centipedes in her planter boxes, which are brick boxes that, of course, get very, very warm. And she wondered if one or the other of them preferred different temperature circumstances. I don't know, and I was not able to find that. But I did find that millipedes were ahead of us as it came to the vertebrate types. You know, that's what we are. That's one of the things that distinguishes us from other critters. But the ones that are invertebrate, and particularly the millipedes, actually came up out of the water and onto land sooner than any of the vertebrates. They found this out. Wonderful research from Virginia Tech. What they were working on, it's like going all around the world studying these things, but it's the Field Museum of Natural History. That, of course, is in Chicago. Hampton Sydney College, Universidad de la Luna, Laguna, I'm sorry. Virginia Tech School of Plant and Environmental Sciences. All these people studying millipedes, centipedes. How about that? The Australian National Insect Collection, the West Virginia University, and Universidad Autonoma del Estado de Hidalgo. So, bunch of people are interested in these critters. And my friend is probably not the only one that wants to know if they prefer more heat than the centipedes do. I don't know. They didn't tell me that. But it sure is interesting to think about the early pioneers of life on land, because where it had all been in the water previously. Interestingly enough, they're some of the first terrestrial composters. You know, that's where their whole job is. That's how they survive, is to reduce other products into waste that is waste into their diet. So that's how they take care of that. One of the photos that I popped in today is a Japanese painted fern. I think that's another plant that we don't appreciate enough, and it always brings a cool texture to any planting. It's usually hardy. It can be a little bit temperamental if your soil stays too wet all the time, but it is a shade plant, and it has silver leaves that are just really pretty. It's just Japanese painted fern is one to look at. Don't be afraid just because it's kind of silvery looking. It's very pretty. Gives us a good opportunity to add something to some of these plants, planters particularly. This time of year, a lot of us are looking for things to replace for other things that perhaps passed, didn't make it through the rain or the heat or the whatever, or they were winter plants in the first place. In my case, I have one container to replant that has been a bed for a kitten, so I have to figure that one out. And I'll get it done. It'll be okay. the world is such an interesting place, you know. We're very, very lucky. We're so fortunate that we can grow things. I'm like you, been fascinated by all of the folks in the coming that have come here from other places to really just get into all of this soccer. I started to say football, but I knew you wouldn't. We don't like that here. We like soccer. But the whole World Cup frenzy has been lots and lots of fun. We talked last week about their desire for more ranch dressing. But I have to tell you, the one that I'm intrigued by is the interviews, but with two or three different sources, where people said to them, "We can't believe how much property you own, in your around your house, and you're not growing any food. We don't understand that." You know, these are people that grow food in micro-sized gardens in Northern Europe. And they were just surprised at us. Yes, those are winter onions that you plant in the fall. Yes, that is correct. Interestingly enough, I got the late start on tomatoes. This is Andrew in Oxford. They're just now flowering. The 10-year-old is really excited about watermelon babies. All right. What do I do besides cross my fingers? Well, you are right. There's a lot of cross my fingers with that. But if you continue the a little bit of what's happening right now with the tomatoes is that they are blooming. So be sure, and I told Lance this yesterday, each time you walk past those plants, wiggle the branches just a little bit so that all of your pollen that is there can fall onto the flowers below it. That's how tomatoes pollinate themselves. And that's you can help them with that. And this is a tough time for them to set fruit, but if you help them along, usually you'll get at least a little bit of an advantage from it. It's really a fun thing. The watermelon babies definitely need to be fertilized regularly and keep them growing. Make sure that they continue to grow. It's hard to do in the heat, but I think you can make it. Good morning, Marshall. That's a red shrimp plant. That's so pretty. That's just gorgeous. Interestingly enough, it's just gorgeous. It's really pretty. I do love that particular plant, and it's one of those that we all need to have it in our gardens. Yes, further south in the state, and for instance here in my yard, it's a perennial plant, you know, and I can enjoy it all the time. But then you can also enjoy it just like this in a container. I love that. Your mom would be so glad you saved that one. Oh, let's see. How do you propagate a shrimp plant? Cuttings from branches that don't have flowers on them is the easiest way. Just a 4-inch cutting. Put it in some well-drained soil, potting soil. Keep it watered and fertilized, and don't let it be in the sun. Let's talk to Mabel this morning.
Good morning.
Hey there. What's going on?
Oh, my daughter doing all the planting. Now I got to get out there.
That's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, and she got a little bell pepper and all that. And she said she thinks that's the stink bug that's eating up. She got squash out there. It's in my yard.
Mm-hmm.
And tomatoes and all that. She want to know what she can do to get rid of the bugs that's eating up the plants.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of fertilizer she can use to plant, you know, put in the garden.
Okie doke. Well, those are two really good questions, Mabel. I'm just so glad you're making a gardener. You're turning her into you. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I love that.
Her and my grandson.
Oh, that's so sweet. Here's the deal. Mm-hmm. The fertilizer is real simple. Just the same vegetable garden food that you've been using, or if you've got the Dr. Dirt version, you know, it's just fertilizer. Just anything made for vegetables is going to be fine on all these. The other part of it is the stink bugs. Now, there's a couple of things about stink bugs. But first is that if you can shake the branches and get them to fall off, you're in better shape than trying to actually pluck them all off. But physically getting them off the plants is helpful. Sometimes a strong stream of water will do that, and then you just rake them up. Or sometimes you have to shake the plants a little bit. Then you spray with, I'm sure you've got your Captain Jack's spray or another spinosad spray or a pyrethrin, any one of those will do it. But you got to spray every 8 days because they will keep reproducing once they get started. So tell her to spray every 8 days, and otherwise just use the fertilizer for any of the vegetables. They'll be going fine.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so.
All right.
What?
Thank you, ma'am. Right. Happy Independence Day. I know they're going to have a good time. I love generational gardening. Multi-generational gardening is really what just makes my heart sing. That is wonderful. Ooh, where did I leave off? The shrimp plant. Okay, we did that. Oh, about the folks from here for the World Cup. They're amazed that we actually have driveways. That's true. That's true. I also have to say that I'm amazed that the Scotland Army can wear wool kilts in Miami. I was made me uncomfortable just looking at them. You know it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just horrible. Anyway.
It's not like weather they're used to.
Oh, no. The people that they talked to said, this is crazy. I don't know how y'all live here. Understandable. Another beautiful picture in your group today is of the bulb program going on at Donna Yowles in Madison. She'll be here with us at 9:30 to talk about the Arboretum program. So we're getting a little of everything in our bucket today. Ooh, that's some good-looking plants. That's really nice. Pink chiffon, Rose of Sharon, and hardy hibiscus. They're beautiful. And that really is, that's really why we love our perennials so much. Pam from Sardis says, I'd forgotten how beautiful they are, and a nice surprise. And that's really true. We don't always remember until it comes up and gives us some pleasure, you know. I said, oh, look at that. And that's gorgeous. That's just beautiful. Flowers bigger in her hand. That's wonderful. Dave and Ripley's got flowering onions in flower. That's beautiful. Love, love, love. Really pretty, too. And, you know, that's one of the other things that we don't think about. There are a whole bunch of alliums or onions that we can put into the flower garden because they're not as tasty, but the flowers are just gorgeous. Oh, my goodness. Well, we've got to step away for a moment. Thank you for being here today. This is the Garden Mama Show.
Jake Mangum, professional ball player. Are you tired of paying too much for health care? Farm Bureau's new health plan brings consistent copays, flexible options, and access to statewide Blue Cross Blue Shield network. Visit msfarmbureauhealthplan.com for more information and call a local agent today for a quote. Contact your local agent and find a plan that's right for you. It's time to become a member and save. It's time to join the home team.
Hello, I'm Sean Tindall, Commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. Since 2021, Mississippi has seen a 25% reduction in fatalities involving crashes with commercial motor vehicles. Many of those crashes could have been avoided. DPS, through its MHP's Motor Carrier Unit and the Commercial Transportation Enforcement Division, is partnering with Big Rig Truckers to conduct safety checks across our state for the Trooper and Trucker Safety Initiative. The Department of Public Safety and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration are working together to keep our highways safe for everyone. Thank you, and drive safely.
Hey, looky yonder, coming down that railroad track. Hey, looky yonder, coming down that railroad track. It's that orange blossom special, bringing my baby back. Woo-hoo! We'll be right back.
You just have to hear this to believe it. Johnny Cash, 1969, Folsom Prison. That's right. He did a concert there, and it is a legend. And quite frankly, that's one of the best recordings I'd ever heard of it. And I appreciate Lance putting it up for us today, because today is Orange Blossom Day. Now, if you have ever been to a wedding where the people had, as some people might say, more money than sense, you might have smelled orange blossoms in the church, because it's a real expensive way to decorate, and it is magnificent. But my goodness, they are really pungent. They smell like oranges, and if you don't like it, it's not, you know, it's just, you just want to leave immediately. But a lot of times when you go to really big events that are extremely big enough to have like 4 foot wide urns with flowers flowing out of them that are 10 feet long, that's sometimes might be some orange blossoms in there. The Orange Blossom Special was a legendary luxury train that stopped its runs in 1953, when I think we here in the United States made our bad decisions about stopping those things. But that's just me. I love trains, you know. It began in 1925, and it took people from New York to Florida. And it split the route in the, and when it got into Florida, you could go to the East Coast or the West Coast. But when you think about how long it takes to drive, that's a long drive down the coast. It only took 30 hours in the train. Plus, you had chefs and overnight Pullman luxury sleepers and all that sort of stuff. There's nothing quite like that romance.
I've been on a train from like D.C. to Baltimore and back. I've always wanted to take a much longer, trip, adventure on a train. You know, get off, stay somewhere for a day or something, and hop back on the train.
Yes.
And not have to drive. But I do love driving.
I don't have a bucket list, but I would love to do more of the West Coast on a train than I have done.
Darjeeling Limited.
They do have those kind of things, too, Amtrak, where you can come off for a day and go back, and do that sort of stuff.
Seems like that would be a really cool package. I worked in tourism right out of college and after working on the Hill briefly. Mm-hmm, and I would really love the tourism world and getting out and the ability to see so many great things. I worked in a museum setting, so a lot of the places I got to go had beautiful gardens. Growing up with a grandmother that was an artist, mainly painted flowers and landscapes and those types of things, and a mamaw that was a farmer, it was like heaven, going into some of those gardens you would see at the arts and cultural places in all over the South. I went all over the country, but it was just a great entree I guess, the appreciation for growing stuff, beautiful things, and a little adventure, getting out and seeing stuff you don't normally get to see.
Well, that is part of pushing your own limits, because you don't know what it's going to be like when you go to that other place, when you get on that train. And there are a lot of people that don't like to ride the train because they feel like they're not in control. I have an absolutely opposite reaction.
Yeah, you like to kick the feet up.
I'm glad I don't have to be in control at that moment. Huh? Well, there's just everybody has different opinions about it. But that the Orange Blossom Special is something that's famous in movies and obviously in song and everything else. And I don't think I think we lost something when we put that aside and went. I know interstates are wonderful, and I do love to drive and ride on in a car, but I just think we're big enough we could have had both.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like you were saying, just the Orange Blossom Cannonball was a popular and historic tourist train operating between Mount Dora and Tavares, or Tavares in Central Florida, known for its 90-minute round trips and. All kind. I mean, I would love to hop on a train. I'm more of an in control person. So if I could just not be for a moment, I wonder if they'd let Hawk ride with me.
I think you have to buy his own ticket.
Oh, he deserves one.
There's only certain.
They're going to serve the quail. As long as there's quail, he'll be good. Freshwater and quail.
I don't know whose joke this is, but yes, it is. And I'm going to leave it at that. Our texter will know what I'm talking about.
Let's see here.
This was up there. This week was the week I learned about the horticulture commandos, There's a lot of things going on in this crazy world of ours, I'm happy to say. if you have not fertilized your lawn this year and it's not looking as good as you want it to, this is actually a fine time to do that. Just about every soil surface in Mississippi, as well as several other states, has plenty of water in it. So if you will just get your fertilizer out there, and it's really not a bad idea if you have had any issues. If your lawn's growing well and it now needs to be mowed every week, don't worry about it. But if your lawn is not doing as well as you wanted it to, and you feel like something, you know, you never did fertilize it this spring, then this would probably be the time to do that.
Man, a lot of us needed a pea rogue to get out there in it.
Yeah, there is that.
You know, but mine's drying out. I'm probably going to hit it tomorrow. But I fertilized probably a week and a half or two ago, right before the rain. Kind of got lucky.
That's perfect.
Man,
yeah,
it really looks good.
That works out well. I was watching, of course, the Great Mississippi Tea Company is one of my favorite things and favorite people, but the company itself is terrific. And just looking at all the stuff that happened to them after their tornado and the recovery, and it's actually still wet in places that just you wouldn't expect. You know, it's not the usual for us, but this year has been quite different.
We had 12 different days in a row, if my count was right.
Yeah.
Did y'all see the same kind of consistency in rain for almost 2 weeks straight?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, they just shut CERN down. So
it rained yesterday. Yeah.
CERN shut down to like 2030. So that might have caused it. Yeah. There are some conspiracy theories.
I'm not going to disagree. There's enough conspiracy theories out there.
Some good stuff. That was a rabbit hole yesterday. I was like, 12 days in a row, how often does that happen? And then you get into like four layers deep of that, and you're talking about CERN shutting down, and it goes back to these are the times where CERN has shut down, and these are the weather patterns that happened. I'm like, what in the world am I into here?
And you can go down into another one where you end up with how many times there's been how much rain before how many hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's painful.
And then the four earthquakes that, obviously, the two that hit
I didn't send
Caracas.
You the picture that I lifted from the great writer Susan Marquez with all of the earthquakes that have just happened, but the entire Pacific Rim is starting to fire up. And
the Marianas Trench is deep. Man, no telling what's all the way
that.
Down there. The
all
Kraken's coming back.
Oh, my goodness. Jeff, sunflowers and tomatoes. Oh, my goodness.
See, yours are so much better looking than mine, Jeff.
We need to get
He's
tips
He's in the 601.
Jeff.
I mean,
exactly.
We need to get tips.
But I love your sunflowers.
Yeah, too. Those are beauty. I had two or three different types that I put out, and the one I can't remember what you call the one with the red and the yellow. I had that one. It didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. I guess I just didn't have the right setting for it. Wasn't enough sun, maybe.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly. But if you have any more seeds, and if you happen to have just shopped a sale somewhere, because everybody's doing that this time of year, this is a great time to start planting flowers again.
So I can throw some more out.
Sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Absolutely.
That's what I was going to try.
Zinnias and sunflowers and celosia especially will just.
And my zinnias were too. They were very. I mean, again, I went with the giants. And they just didn't. My question would be, they grew in length like they were supposed to. They had fairly good density. They were healthy, but the bud in the head just never really turned into what I'm used to. And my assumption
that's a lack of sunlight, but it's also too much water.
Too much of one, too little of the other.
Somebody has sent us beautiful pictures of penta. That's one of the plants that I think we should grow more as an annual in the summertime. The butterflies love it, but they don't lay eggs on it for it to be eaten, so it will stay with you through the summer. It's a lovely plant, penta, P-E-N-T-A, because it has a five-lobed petal.
Like pinto beans, but no, it's penta.
I get it, Oh, my goodness, how beautiful, Dave. You have such a great garden.
Okay,
it's onions, and then now we've got Adam's needle. That's so pretty.
Some
pretty,
banging
pretty,
photos
pretty.
Today, too.
Y'all are really doing great. Oh, now he's going to really show off. Thanks, Andrew.
Look at
more sunflowers. There we go. See, they're going to inspire you. They're going to inspire you.
Indy's not a very good quality.
Well, depends on what it spurs.
Sure,
If it gets you to go ahead and go, then it's wonderful. I think that's when you see people that can make creations, you know, the floral arrangements that I can't imagine, or chocolate towers, or, you know, those sorts of things that I just cannot possibly even consider doing. I'm envious, but I don't do anything. Now, if I was envious enough to go and learn how to do that, that'd be a great quality to have.
Well, you and I, we just need to hit the lottery so we could just hire, you know, get somebody to do that, and we can sit back, like you said, and not be in control.
That's right.
And let someone else do that.
I don't think you could stand that.
Yeah, I don't
I have days when I'm perfectly happy with that. That is it. That's a question that if we just had an hour to talk, we could get plenty of people to talk to us about how in control do you feel like you need to be. Tough stuff. Really tough stuff. Oh, Andrew, that's so cute. My goodness, adorable baby. Beautiful baby. Beautiful plants. That's so nice. That's so nice. That's lovely. Well, you know how we've had so many discussions about our oceans and the fact that the microplastics are an issue. Well, I got to tell you, there's actually a microbe, not a plastic, but a microbe that is so tiny we haven't known about it before, that is part of the fish anatomy, fish biodome, that might be why the oceans do better or don't. University of Miami Rosenstiel School of Marine Atmospheric and Earth Science, put that on a t-shirt. Since we've talked about gardening takes guts, and your gut biome is so associated with your brain biome, they're finding this is true in fish, that the gut bacteria, as well as their the water that they're in and all the other qualities that go toward producing that, really do have more to say about the global carbon cycle than anything else. That they can live healthy, and they can live healthier. And if their guts are in good shape, they're healthier. Sounds like people, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, sounds just like people. I love that they studied you. These guys don't get any attention. Talk about no love. The Don Rickles of fish, bony fish, nobody likes them. They're interesting in a museum, okay, but nobody wants to study them. Fortunately, the teleosts have gotten some attention. They drink seawater constantly to maintain their hydration, because they have basically nothing but bones and digestion, okay? That's all there is to them. So as they process that, the excess carbon and calcium, rather, and carbonate ions are removed and released, and that's what creates a different thing entirely. That's what the gut microbe either produces well or doesn't. And that tells us as more than we've ever known about the health of that particular piece of water. I think that's fascinating, and I'm also glad that the bony fish got some attention. Bless their hearts. This is a broader role in both fish biology and global marine nutrient species and cycles than we thought. What was previously thought to be a process driven only by the fish actually turns out to have as much to do with the environment. Sounds just like humans, doesn't it? And I know they're not. They're fish. But from you are what you eat, you know. We have to pay attention to that, I think, at least a little bit. Fun stuff. There's so many pieces of the puzzle to the fall garden, and I know that if I don't start talking about it now, we'll be to the end of July, and you'll be going, could I have planted X, Y, or Z? If you want to grow tomatoes in the fall and you don't want to buy the plants, start your seeds now, okay? If you want to plant squash next month, you can start those seedlings now. But you're going to be better off to seed things like the greens that you want to plant in August and the beets that you want to plant in August. Those are all going to be done better from seed. So get those ordered now and get them in your house, okay? I don't think we're going to see anything except a continuing less and less opportunity to buy as many seeds as we want. So I say take advantage of the sales that are out there now, okay? Okay. All right, friends. Step aside for a moment, but please come right back. This is the Garden Mama Show.
State Treasurer David McRae has returned more unclaimed money and delivered more college and career savings to Mississippians than ever before. He's done it by making the state's education savings programs more flexible, benefiting students and teachers at virtually all schools, private or public, vocational or technical. He's making college and career savings and getting unclaimed money easier than ever. Don't let another day go by without claiming your cash or jumpstarting a career. Treasury.ms.gov.
Are you thinking about retirement, or are you recently retired? Do you have a plan, or do you have a drawer full of statements? If your answer is the latter, then you're not retirement planning, you're retirement hoping. Risks and inflation are rising, and planning is critical now. At Element Wealth, our exclusive 360 process can create a strategy to help protect what you've worked so hard to build while still providing growth. To start the conversation, visit myelementwealth.com or call 601-957-6006. 601-957-6006.
If I ever write a book about craziest things that have happened in my life, I have to say that being close enough for Dr. John to throw glitter on me was one of them. It was a landmark moment. Let's see. Oh, this is a good one, Greg. Our celebrity tomatoes have been great this year. They've about finished producing. Is there anything I can do to get them to keep on? I believe they are determinate. Yes, they are determinate. What you can do, though, because it's, again, we're at the point in the tomato life that if they look good, we want to encourage them, because then we'll be the first people to have tomatoes in the next round, is when it's cool enough for them to actually set fruit, if it isn't presently. But if they're not looking good, this is the time to cut them down, because we can plant more plants next month. Here's a looking good. I'm going to give them a little bit of pruning. I might take out any suckers or any weak branches or anything that seems to you to be less than great, and go ahead and fertilize them, and let's see if we can't get them to keep growing. Celebrity has that option. Celebrity can do that sometimes. I have seen it, because one year I was particularly obsessed with the fruit on it was so good, and it was just banking so much in the spring that I kept taking care of it. And I really did have tomatoes all the way through Halloween, at least, on that plant, because they're capable of that, but they really do have to have a lot of TLC. So give them what they need, and I think you'll be able to keep them that way. Pretty Julia, thank you, Andrew. She's beautiful, 4 months old, adorable. My grandmother rooted her purple Althea, and this is a beautiful purple Althea, by the way. Just gorgeous. She rooted it for me over 30 years ago. She has passed, but her flowers make me think of her often. Pass them along. Absolutely. It's a beautiful one. And when you want to really make an impression on someone, provide them for a gift or just as a surprise happy, a plant that you rooted, works every time. Works every time. Virginia buttonweed, I've dug it up and pulled it and sprayed it, and it continues to come back. It is persistent. Well, Elliot and Florence has this problem, but you probably do too. It's a big problem. This is a time for what some of us would call spot treatment, and that might be with a spray on that particular plant. You have to be careful not to get it on other things. Or it might be the spot treatment of solarization, where you literally are taking and covering that up with clear plastic and burying the edges of it, so that patch of your Virginia buttonweed or whatever the noxious thing is that has invaded can be stifled. And this is the perfect time to do it, if your flower bed will allow for that. Otherwise, you will have to isolate the plants a little bit and give them either a spray of the traditional, you know, all-in-one weed killers, or one of the natural products, which is essentially the corn flour, gluten, those products, those things that do a pretty good job of it. This is also where some people will simply go out and paint vinegar on those plants, because on a hot day that'll crisp them up. It doesn't get rid of them, but it gives you the opportunity to go ahead then and pull them out. So it's not a bad idea. It's tough to do. It's a real tough thing, especially in a flower bed. I recently built a flower bed. We did a layer of cardboard, layer of sticks. Oh, you kind of go in hugel culture. That's nice. Mixed in some mulch, and it will decay over time. Then topsoil. Okay, and we're working on how to put in some PVC pipes. No, you can certainly plant this fall. What you're going to need to do is, what I would do, is test your watering system once you get it installed, and also test the drainage in that soil. Because if the topsoil is too heavy, or what's called topsoil, you understand it's not usually topsoil, that's usually gone. But some sort of top part of a soil that they have lifted for you. And you may need to mix it with some other organic matters to improve its drainage or improve its water holding capacity, but usually it's to improve its drainage. And test those things, and then you'll be ready to go. Remember that planters, especially in the fall, but really all the time, need a little bit of mulch, no more than an inch around the plants, but it does help a whole lot with helping the bed to work better and also helping your plants to grow better. So do that for you, okay? We planted mammoth sunflowers, and the seeds never germinated. Bad seeds? ? Since it's you, Greg, I would say, yeah, it's probably just a bum bunch of seeds, because you all are really good at this. You're very good at you do all of these things. I would just try another brand, another bag of seeds. On the other hand, this is silly, but I have heard of people that their seed didn't sprout, they put them in the bird feeder and the birds liked it just fine, but I don't really know if that works. This is Patricia from Van Cleve. I have Althea that I rooted and planted. Some of the leaves are turning yellow. If they're turning yellow all over the plant, it's suffering a transplant shock, and it's just not able to work. The roots are not able to work, probably because it's been so wet. On the other hand, if it's just the lower leaves of the plant that are yellow, it needs some fertilizer. Okay, so give yourself that opportunity. If it's yellow all over, you may want to lift it up and put it into a container until the fall so that it has a chance to recover. On the other hand, if it's just lower leaves, give it some fertilizer and it'll be okay. Okay, sure. I'm planting corn this afternoon. Let's see. That just sounds lovely, Nathan. Nathan is sitting on the pond bank with the radio on and brim fishing for supper. Congratulations, and he's planting all that corn. Well, okay. That's great, Nathan. You're always doing something interesting, too. Again, Patricia, thank you.
Yeah, that's a great eating. I hate skinning them and cleaning them. A brim, oh, little sunfish. They're never
delightful.
They're not the most fun, but, boy, they're good fun to catch and eat.
Yep. One of my grandfather's favorites.
You can get into about 60 of them in one spot, too. You got to be careful.
Well, yeah, he loved the dissection of filleting a fish. You know, mm-hmm. he really enjoyed that. So brim were perfect for him.
I had an old skin and knife. I sat up for about 8 hours. I started about 10 o'clock in the evening one night, and it was several of us that had fished, and they didn't want to deal with it. So I kind of get hung up with all the fish to clean, and I was not very motivated, so I started about 10. The sun came up before I was done. I was like, oh, Lord, I've got to get better at this. But no, I think it had something to do with the knife. It was old, and I finally did get, as a great gift, one of those big Bubba skinning knives that's electric and has several.
It does take the right tool for the job. That is true.
After that, I've got to upgrade. Yeah,
that is very true. Something has been discovered that has not been seen before, and nobody can understand how they didn't find it. This is so funny to me. Victoria University of Wellington, Australia. This is in New Zealand. A giant black coral. Now, we know about black coral, but we've never seen one this big. 13 feet tall and 15 feet wide. That's bizarre, isn't it? And the question is, how did this, because it takes 400 years or so for one to grow this to be this size, how did we not see this before? It's really wonderful. It's an important stronghold for the slow-growing species. It's the biggest one of the black corals ever recorded in New Zealand, and of course it's in the waters of Aotearoa, which is going to be preserved. So that's pretty cool. I love that. Well, I hope you'll come back for the next hour. We're going to talk to you, talk to this and that, and talk to Donnie Yowell about trees and arboreta and how you can get your town involved. Stick around.
Open up the window, let some air to this room. I think mama's choking from the smell of stale perfume. And the cigarette you're smoking about to scare me half to death. Open up the window, let me catch my breath.
Mama told me. Mama told me not to come. She said that ain't no way to have fun, son. That ain't no way to have fun, son, son, son.
Hi, I'm Brad Phillips from Yazoo City, Mississippi. I'm proud to be Mississippi's Catfish Farmer of the Year. Catfish farming takes a lot of hard work, but it's worth it to provide your family the best, freshest, healthiest fish available. When you buy U.S. catfish, you get that perfectly mild flavor every time. And you're supporting local jobs. Always look for the U.S. farm-raised catfish seal. Find recipes and restaurants at uscatfish.com.
Nowadays, customers are searching online for the services they need.
Are they looking at your business?
Having a mobile-friendly website can really help you win new customers. Let SuperTalk Mississippi Media create a great-looking and very affordable website for your business. Plus, studies suggest that a well-written radio ad can lead to a 20% lift in traffic to your website. Just call SuperTalk Mississippi Media today at 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com.
Hey folks, I'm Andy.
It's like lantana, okay? If you grow lantana and you let the little seed pods form after the flowers, you'll notice a lot of varieties don't even form those anymore because they've been bred to not to do that. But the old-fashioned varieties, or the older varieties, I should say, actually will make those seed pods. That's important to the plant because it reproduces that way, but those are poisonous. So that's why we always talk about not planting lantana where children are likely to be attracted to it, or where animals would be likely to be attracted to it. And so that keeps it out of a lot of places. You don't usually put an oleander in a schoolyard either, for the same reason, because it could be attractive. Now, on the other hand, I do believe, just like with every other sort of plant and everything that I've ever done and told you about, you've got to teach the children and the dog and the cat not to go where you don't want them to go. This is that we're back to that control theme that we've been doing, okay? Sometimes it's not very easy to do that, so you just don't plant that plant. On the other hand, if you've got a yard that's fairly easy to get to and you don't have any children or grandchildren and you want to grow an oleander, I don't have any problem with that. I wouldn't put it in the front yard probably because it does present a danger. On the other hand, I was never tempted to eat them. I grew up in Gulfport, you know, they were practically tall as the house, beautiful oleanders, big old things, and we loved them, but we didn't eat them. We didn't go, you know, we didn't try to get ourselves into that. Nobody ever told me they were poisonous for years, but we just, you know, we didn't do that. So anyway, I understand that the screw worm is, am I right, Lance? The screw worm has not been found in Mississippi?
I don't think so. Okay. That flathead one had, you know, yeah. But the other one not.
The flathead worm is one of those things that people are worried about. And depending on who you read, you'll hear them worry a lot, and you'll hear other people worry not much. I think the thing to do is that basically just getting rid of them, you know, put them in a plastic bag and get them out of your garden. Sometimes people will put soap in that bag, or they'll put some other thing in there. But the problem, don't try to cut them up. I'm not going to go back to last week, but don't cut them up because they'll just make more. So the thing to do is to get them out of your garden. They will cause you some trouble. Joey, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what that plant is, but I will. I'll try and look it up. Anyways, I've seen two different reports. I've seen reports that the screw worm has been found, and I've seen reports that it has not. So I'm pretty sure it has not. Okay. Another of the plants that you're going to see in the rotation today is a variegated pittosporum. Those are pretty. That's another odd shrub that you might want to consider in your group of plants that you're adding. And believe you me, everything is on sale at the garden centers. Even if you're not going to plant that shrub until fall, go ahead and pick it out because you like it, and you'll have the one that you want then. Okay? I'm really in favor of that. If you wait for the fall shipments, it can be late, and it can also be that you won't get as good a deal on the plants, but it's also true that the garden centers would love for you to take it home and water it until fall. They're going to give you a little help with that. See, isn't that begonia gorgeous? My goodness, that's beautiful. And she's got pothos. Those could be my plants, but they're not. Mine are not that pretty. That's just lovely. Just lovely. We have now learned something different about... This is so funny. I guess maybe once a month or every couple of months, something that has been absolutely part of the education and the lore of gardening and even the horticulture basics, entomology basics, just turns out not to be so. And we have just done this with the honeybee queen. I was taught, and you probably were too, that the honeybees were selected and raised in a different queen crib, a different kind of wax, but that's what makes them the queen. It turns out it's so much more complicated than that. When they took the queens and raised them in not that particular kind of wax, they don't do well. They don't become good queens, or they become really small and they're not effective, or they just die. So what they found is that the implications way beyond the honeybees. It could be that development is not only shaped by genetics and the nutrition that we provide, but also by the physical and social environments that creatures inhabit. That's the same thing as we talk about in the garden. If things get too crowded, one's going to dominate. If one thing is left out on the edge and doesn't get watered, it's not going to do as well as the things that are in the center of the garden and can be taken care of a little more easily. There's a bunch of those things. It used to be, and we were all taught this, that the queen does not emerge from royal jelly alone. And it's in fact that just takes the whole thing. We know now also that it's warmer in the queen's crib. We also know that the critters who raise her, the drones that are particularly associated with the queen, also have a higher body temperature. We didn't know that either. They have to have that or it doesn't work. Just really fascinating stuff. We learn something new literally every day. It's just crazy. Isn't that wonderful? I love that. So much fun. So many things that we get a chance to talk about, you know, because somebody says, well, what happened with that? And then you say, well, this is what I read, or this is what I think, or any of those. Okay, we'll do this. You can tell my computer's decided to jump. There it goes. Okay, thank you, Greg. Yes. Prune them back by about one-third of their overall size, that celebrity tomato, because it's not but about probably 4 or 5 feet tall anyway. And you can take off a foot of it without any problem. Take off a little bit more maybe, but you don't need to get it all the way down to bare branches. You just need to cut back the top of it by about one-third of its size. Okay? Okay. I just can't help it. The whole bug business is so fascinating to me. Trying to document the butterflies in Burkina Faso is what the entomology folks have been reporting on this week. And it is quite, I mean, you would read this and you would think, well, nobody can do that. Well, of course they can. But it's not usually written about in quite this difficult of an explanation. We read about, well, we're going to go here and study biodiversity. We're going to count everything and find out who they all are in a particular environment. That sounds pretty easy. But then taxonomy, their names, is a whole other problem. A study published this week in the Journal of Insect Science lets us know about focusing on the landlocked country in West Africa, the Lepidoptera diversity remains pretty much unstudied. That is to say, they're butterflies. So this is Burkina Faso. They went from the folks from France and Nigeria, two different research groups, went to study them. But what they did was to get a hold of not only their own observations, but everything that had ever been written, because there was a piece over here and a piece over there and a little information about this one and a little more about that one. And so there's just no way in the world except to say, well, that's what it has to be, is to fold all those records together. That's another task that's not nearly as easy as it sounds. So they started getting ready on all of this to try and understand the region's diversity, first of all, and then, of course, to figure out how much more there is to actually be done based on what's been studied. So you don't have to go back and invent the wheel, but you got to know where the wheel is, right? So it's interesting stuff. Burkina Faso is a huge, plays a big importance because it lies between the Sahara Desert and the rainforests on the coast of Africa. Okay, so it's literally a transition area. That's why it has so much diversity in its biome, but why it's also so difficult to study. So it's an interesting, just a fascinating thing. Love all that. Yep, butterflies and honeybees, and what to do about our tomatoes. Goodness gracious. Here's some more sunflowers. Y'all are really trying to make him feel bad.
Yeah, it's an eat your heart out kind of warning, huh?
That's good. That's good. It gives you motivation.
Competition.
It gives you motivation.
I love competition.
One of the funniest things that I've ever seen were mammoth sunflowers that were being raised. It was at Johnny's Select Seeds in Maine. And they were tall enough. They towered over all the other selected varieties that they were also growing there for their seeds. But the giant ones were so tall that the birds were actually eating the seeds off of the plants without ever even looking at the ones below it. Mm. You know, they were like very snooty. They were only going to take those big ones.
The first fruits.
Exactly. Yeah. They got what they wanted and then moved on down the road. That's another place that is interesting because Johnny's Select Seeds in Maine, because they have such a short growing season. A lot of times we look at their varieties because we can grow them in our short winter to spring before summer's heat gets here, you know, or vice versa in the fall before it turns cold, because they particularly select those. In the same way that Renee's Garden Seeds has a whole line of things intended to be grown in containers because they have limited root systems and they have, you know, better production in a smaller space. So all of those things I think are important for us to realize as we're putting together the seeds for our upcoming fall garden. Believe it or not, it's time to think about it. Sounds crazy, I know, but that's just the way it is. There's something else going on today that I have to tell you, I'm not a big bingo person, but today's National Bingo Day, and the celebrations in bingo world are incredible. I don't know, I'm surprised they don't pick a day every quarter for Bingo Day because it's turned into such a big deal. Big prizes, lots of fun, all that sort of thing. And I mean, it's fine. It's just not something that I go and do. There's one thing that I do go and do, though, of course, and that is my garden gnomes. And I have to tell you, there's a couple of stories out here that just don't make me real happy until the very end. So I'm not going to try and run through the whole thing for you, but I am going to tell you that a woman who had maybe three gnomes in her front garden, was asked to consider if that was in line with the visual message that the neighborhood or the street was trying to send. You know, this is a homeowners association thing. So since she didn't want to be invited to the homeowners association, she said no, this was her property and that there wasn't a rule against it in their stuff. So it went on for a while, and the person who was particularly upset about it would just stand on the other side of the street and stare at her gnomes. So she added more gnomes. And they kept going to meetings and discussing this and discussing that. And she would add more gnomes. And then people from the community came to look at them, to admire her collection. And then she planted more. And it went on and on and on until finally the guy gave up. Now, I'm not saying that kind of control isn't the control of a homeowners association isn't important, but I'm also saying that sometimes you need to be careful who you mess with, because she'd been living there a very long time, owned her house, and knew her rights. And certainly garden gnomes are not something to be I don't know, why didn't they all just take one, you know? maybe that's too much. Greetings from Loosedale this morning. Hello, that's really cool. Very cool. Yep. Very nice. My grandmother's family were from Loosedale. I'm happy to say it's a sweet place. Nice stuff. One other bit of information for you. I don't know how you convince people that what you're doing is what they should be doing. I do know that a lot of people will keep their vegetable beds or their cut flower beds and stuff in the back of their house rather than in the front yard, not just because of homeowners associations necessarily, which, as I say, have an absolute important place in maintaining the neighborhood, but at the same time, sometimes it goes a little far. Again, we're back to the control issue. But when we talk about all of those things, we really are looking at, do you like my garden or do you not? And so sometimes you have to take your personality out of it. It may be that it is not, it's not in its best phase, and that's oftentimes that homogeneity is what they're trying in a neighborhood to maintain, which is why I say the gnomes don't hurt it. But on the other hand, I realize is a problem sometimes if you're growing a perennial garden or you're growing cut flower garden or something like that in a space that then becomes completely naked. A famous garden writer talked about the daylily graveyards where, you know, a person who just grows daylilies, and then when they all, if they're deciduous, they all lose their leaves and all you've got is the little sticks there telling you their names, which is kind of sad. But there also are semi-evergreen and evergreen daylilies, so you might want to add some of those to your collection. It probably wouldn't hurt. Tomorrow is the Constitution Day in Ukraine, and I want to know what they do to celebrate. I think that's a really good idea. Really good idea. Can we maybe celebrate Tomatoes Day here?
Yeah, and give me some of those.
Would that be? Well, it's just when you see plates and platters and more platters of them like this harvest, oh my goodness.
Well, back to the garden gnomes. I mean, like, you don't really want to mess with a garden gnome. If anyone remembers their German fairy tales, those things are, you know, they got some skills. And Winklevoss, yes. And all mm-hmm. the others, they mm-hmm. may cast a spell on you.
They live under the earth.
That's right.
And they can do things to you that you don't even know about, according to all their lore and legend.
I'll be looking at them crossways.
I'm happy to say that I just am fascinated by them, and I really enjoy. I'm glad that I've been able to come out of the gnome closet because I didn't talk about them for a long time. People would make fun of me. Well, okay, go ahead, make fun of me. I don't care.
Those gnomes is listening.
That's right. That's right. My gnomes are very happy. They're starting to be all over the place. Fascinating stuff. Let me see, there was one other thing I wanted to tell you about. Oh, yeah, when everything dries up, you'll be starting to see the patches of your lawn that are not as happy as you would want them to be, okay? Look along your sidewalk or maybe even next to stepping stones if they're big. If you find that that's the area where things are not doing so well, put your trowel in there, and I'll bet you're going to find white grubs. They love those warmest areas, even though we feel like it's just got to be too hot. That's where they congregate. That's where they multiply. And that's indeed why you end up having moles later, is because you got white grubs and they're searching for lunch. Okay? So give yourself the opportunity to get rid of them. You can do the traditional treatment now, or you can do the first of two if you're doing the Milky Spore organic biosustainable method. You would do that, and then again next spring you would apply that again. Okay. Oh, it's that time, y'all. Come on, it's time now for a little bit of summer in the city. We'll be right back.
But at night it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be all right. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer in the city. In the summer, in the city. Cool town, meeting in the city. Dressed so fine and looking so pretty. Cool cat, looking for a kitty. Gonna look in every corner of the city. Till I'm wheezing like a bus stop. Running up the stairs, gonna meet you on the rooftop.
But tonight it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night. Just by the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the night.
Ever imagine one company could transform how you live and work? With CSpire, you're connected with advanced technology that enhances everything you do. How you order your morning coffee.
Order my usual.
How you secure your company's data. Even how you turn your backyard into your personal movie theater.
Start movie night.
Own your day on the network for connected living. There's more to see. CSpire. Customer inspired.
Planning a home improvement project? Don't let your dream renovation become a nightmare. Before you hire any contractor, remember these three essential steps. Ask to see their current state license, check their insurance coverage, and always get at least three written estimates. Visit msboc.us to verify credentials and review complaints. Your home deserves a licensed professional, because when it comes to construction, cutting corners could cost you everything. Call the Mississippi State Board of Contractors or go to msboc.us to learn more. A message from the Mississippi State Board of Contractors.
This summer, the honey
they're coming down that railroad track. Hey, looky yonder, coming down that railroad track. It's that orange blossom special, bringing my baby back.
Yes, indeed, it is Orange Blossom Day. Talking trees. By the way, there is an orange blossom that is hardy in our part of the world. The other is the traditional one is more tropical, but the Mexican orange blossom is a nice shrubby little tree. It's interesting and smells really good. Good morning, Donna Yowell. How are
you? Good morning. Morning, Nellie. I hope all is going well.
All is good. We're just excited to be talking trees with you. Dave from Ripley just sent me the most beautiful purple crepe myrtle I've ever seen.
Oh, wonderful.
That's gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. Really pretty pictures. And he has a 96-year-old fig tree, too. That doesn't hurt my feelings. That does not hurt my feelings.
Wow, that made it all these years. That's amazing.
Yep, he's been there 46, and the lady before him was there 50, and it's been there the whole time. How cool is that?
Wow.
This is interesting, because what we want to talk about is Arboretum. And I think you are our authority on everything trees, but I didn't realize, you know, we take trees for granted in our part of the world, but it's not that easy. And when you want an opportunity for your town to have a nice green space, a nice Arboretum, Donna's the person to get in touch with. Tell us about the program, Donna.
Well, Nellie, you're right. The last time I looked, we had 13 acres per person in the state of Mississippi that's greenery, that's all trees. And we do take it for granted, because urban trees in your community is different than trees out in the countryside. So we need trees in our community as well. And this is an opportunity for small towns, large towns, any town that would like to get involved, to have a free arboretum in their town. And I can take you through the steps of how to do that. We offer free signage, free trees. We help you with the inventory and all of those things. And and everybody's been asking me, Nellie, what is an arboretum? Mm-hmm. Well, it's just strictly a place with native trees. It's a park with native trees. So it's important that we emphasize that it's all native trees. And there's a lot of beneficial value for the community putting these sites in.
Oh, of course. When we talk about we've been talking a lot about the heat today, but when we talk about places for natural shade, rather, tree-covered areas are just perfect for that. It can always be an area that is more readily able to be used, not in addition to the just simple beauty of our trees. We have, you know, we can talk about how much you're going to enjoy having them there. There's economic advantages. There's really, frankly, mental health advantages that we don't talk about nearly enough. But I really like your theme for this program, Rooted in Mississippi, Growing for the Future. And that's exactly what it is. You don't plant a tree because you want to look at it next year. You want your grandchildren to look at it. And I think it's one of the ways that we plant ourselves as a community, is by planting trees.
That is so true. And, you know, one of the things that communities maybe don't always realize is this is ecotourism. This is about bringing people to your town to spend money,
absolutely,
whether it's to have lunch or spend the night or go shopping, any of those things. So this is a very simple way to add an element of ecotourism, and it is part of the state's tourism program that they're working really hard on helping small, especially small communities, attract more people.
Well, I love the Mississippi Outdoor Stewardship Fund is part, the trust is part of this, and and as well as, of course, the urban forest folks that you are the director of. There's also a thing that makes, when we talk about partnerships, this is an opportunity, you know, I don't know, hardly anybody likes somebody to come in and say, well, we're going to do this to you. We want it to, we really want to do it with you. And that's why the town or the city or the town makes their own commitments to maintaining this thing. And that in turn gives them access to you as an expert to help them with anything that comes along down the way. People think about a free program as not being worth very much, but the only reason this is free, y'all, Donna, I'm not going to, she doesn't know I'm going to say this, is because she works so hard to make it that way.
Well, thank you, Nellie.
She writes the grants. You know, she goes to all the meetings. She talks to all and those people.
And I'm glad you pointed out, Nellie, this is a program that it's got to be about the community.
Yeah.
If the community wants the program, and it's just an opportunity, a very unusual opportunity. We will be the only state in the U.S. that has a statewide Arboretum Trail. So if you want your town on that trail, whether regardless of what the benefits are, it is a great way to celebrate the 250th anniversary
Absolutely.
Of America.
Absolutely. There's no question about that. We're going to be doing a class coming up on July 15th. And tell people what they can expect from this class that you and I are doing.
Well, we're going to talk about the nuts and bolts of the program and to let you know that, or let the communities know that there's no requirement for them. They just need to pick out a public space with trees, and then we'll do everything for them from there on. So the class will be about the nuts and bolts, the you know, all the pieces and parts of the program from A to Z.
We would like to think that when you get done listening to us and gathering the materials that Donna's going to provide, you'll be able to go make a really good presentation to, I don't know, your master gardener group, your city council, your garden clubs. I mean, there's any number of things that might decide they want to do this as the driving force. The community is what's involved in it, the town or the city. But you, we all know that takes people. And the people that are interested in having it happen are the ones that are going to make it happen.
Well, and Nellie, it's not just the city leadership that's doing these programs around the state. It's the local garden club, the local, any of the social clubs in towns. We've had the beautification groups do it, the chambers do it. So if you want to see one in your community, approach your mayor and say, I have this program that's not going to cost the city a thing. So, you know, I'd like to look into it, that sort of thing.
Donna can provide all of the information for you so that you have, you can make a good case.
We are having our last call for the Arboretums at the end of July. So please at least get your name on the list if you think you're interested.
That's why we are going to teach this class on Zoom on July the 15th. Be 10 o'clock in the morning, and all you have to do to get in touch with all of this is to get in touch with Donna. I'm going to give you her email address because that's probably the best way to put your name on her list. D-Y-O-W-E-L-L at AOL.com. Somebody asked me the other day if your name had two L's in it, and I said, well, it has two N's. But it also has two L's. Y-O-W-E-L-L.
Yeah, they can also find out about it on our Facebook page called the Mississippi Arboretum Trail or my personal page under Donna Yowell. I'll have the link to the Zoom class on that as well.
That's wonderful. This is a really great opportunity. We have dozens of native tree species, and we don't, not everybody has the room in their backyard to support some of these gigantic trees. So your community can do it, and you can show them off, but you can also get a chance to live with them. And that's, that to me is some of the great joy of it. When I go around trees, I want to see one I haven't seen before. I want to talk to somebody that's, you know, working on it and growing it and making sure it goes well. We have just gotten a text in from Jay at the reservoir. He has sawtooth oak acorns that he's trying to sprout. And 6 months, nothing happened in the refrigerator with the trial for them. I understand they have to be chilled, so I'm not sure what happened. But mm-hmm. I would say, in terms of giving him some advice, to just do some more. You know, sometimes the first time doesn't work, but we'll get them the second time.
Well, and one of the other things, Nellie, about these sites, these local arboretum sites, the community can use it as a moneymaker. They can have festivals, they can have events, they can charge for them. So if your town is looking for additional revenue, this is one way that you might can have festivals to bring in people, you know, your farmer's market, any number of activities you can have it on an arboretum or in an arboretum.
I love that. It's so smart. You know, it's an environment that you can create that then in turn has its own benefits after it's there. It's just really smart. Wonderful.
And Nellie, one of the other things we're doing right now, any city that wants to participate gets as many free flower bulbs as they want.
There you go. We showed a picture of your flower bulb project earlier today. Ray in Long Beach wants to know if you were involved in the project there, the Urban Forestry Project in Long Beach. I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, we did a lot along the coast after mm-hmm. Katrina, mm-hmm. and we're still doing projects. We're getting arboretum certified. So if in Long Beach, if you've got a site you think needs to be a certified arboretum, because after this program closes out, it's going to be difficult to, it's not going to be difficult, but it'll be expensive to get a certified arboretum.
Yeah.
Right now it's free.
Right now it's free because that's what, and this particular month really coming up in July is the big last push. So if your city or town is interested in this, by all means, get in touch with Donna, or you can always get in touch with me, mamaonair@yahoo.com, and we'll make sure that you get into that particular batch of information and know what's going on and when. I think the Facebook page is probably a real good place to go for it all, Mississippi Arboretum, and I think that's real smart, too. I'm glad you were able to set that one up. That's great.
Yeah, it's an easy way to communicate.
There's so many wonderful trees. I can't even remember how many different oaks there are. When he was talking about that sawtooth oak in his text, I do know that people who have had less success with them with the cold treatment sometimes will then just plant them in small pots outside and leave them out there for about a year and see if they come up. We plant buckeyes that way. We just plant them outside in a container and leave them till they come up. And that,
love buckeyes. And one of the things on this program that's super easy to do is once you pick out, it needs to be a public site because you want visitors to come to the site. So it needs to be public and have an inventory of the native trees, different native trees on your site. And you only need 30, and we're willing to donate 10 of those.
That's a real big boost going into the establishment, because trust me, if you've got a site with any trees on it, and you probably do, there's likely to already be some native trees there. And by adding that to what this Arboretum program can provide for you, that's really great. That's fun.
Well, and we'll set up a mapping system on our website that lists each of the cities that are participating, the name of their Arboretum, and a link to their city so that people can... who want to visit that arboretum can go look where to have lunch, where to spend the night, maybe when there's a festival in town, that sort of thing.
A real interactive calendar. That's great.
Right.
I love that.
Right.
Here's another tree question coming in today. If you cut the roots before you plant the tree, I think I cut too deeply and the new tree couldn't recover. Thank you so much. I love the show. Thank you, Ann. You know, Don, we talk about this a lot. If the roots are circling inside the container, then you have to do some root pruning. And the question is always, how much is too much, you know? But if you can cut through them rather than actually having to remove them, that's one thing. On the other hand, if you're digging something up in the ground to transplant it, I'm going to say if you're cutting off any roots that are bigger around than your thumb, you're probably going to look at some danger. You need to be, it may mean that the thing is not transplantable. But on the other hand, you don't want it to shock and die on you. So the issue is always going to be that balance between taking enough of the roots and not, you know.
And then you might could do a little bit of balance if you're not going too deep with the roots. with trimming the top as well.
Mm-hmm. That's right, of course. And we hope you'll use, water them in with some composted something or other. Okay, you can make compost tea. You can use a worm castings tea. You can make a traditional starting fertilizer that's got, you know, got hormones in it to help it root, any of those things. And those are the processes really that make a difference in how it gets started. We have another question. I told them they should ask tree questions. She says, I've got Ann's in Como. You know, we got hers. The other one is, can I plant a dogwood now? And the answer is only if you're willing to live next to it for the whole summer.
Really?
I really think, I was saying earlier that a lot of things are on sale. Go ahead and buy them, but you're going to want to keep it in the shade and keep it watered until fall and plant it then.
And actually, Nellie, that's what we're doing with the Arboretum program. Anybody that wants free trees, we're telling them to take them home, put them in the shade, babysit them until November, and then plant them out.
It's just so important. You have to give them that. You have to give them the bright chance. And you can certainly, I mean, now this is one thing I will tell you, sometimes you'll see roots crawling out the bottom of that pot, you know, before you get to November to plant. It's okay to do a little pruning at that point. It's really okay.
So,
fascinating stuff. Thank you, Donna. You're the best.
Well, thank you. We're excited about the program, and it couldn't be possible without the Mississippi Stewardship Trust Fund, so we appreciate them.
So appreciate
them. This wouldn't be possible, as you pointed out, Nellie, without the community. So we're here to help, and we appreciate your time, Nellie.
Thank you, Donna. Talk to you soon. Get in touch about the Arboretum, Joe. We will be right back.
She was mine. Every morning I would see her waiting at the stop. Sometimes she'd shop and she would show me what she bought. All the people stared as if we were both quite insane. Someday my name and hers are going to be the same.
Are you thinking about retirement or are you recently retired? Do you have a plan, or do you have a drawer full of statements? If your answer is the latter, then you're not retirement planning, you're retirement hoping. Risks and inflation are rising, and planning is critical now. At Element Wealth, our exclusive 360 process can create a strategy to help protect what you've worked so hard to build while still providing growth. To start the conversation, visit myelementwealth.com or call 601-957-6006. 601-957-6006.
State Treasurer David McRae has returned more unclaimed money and delivered more college and career savings to Mississippians than ever before. He's done it by making the state's education savings programs more flexible, benefiting students and teachers at virtually all schools, private or public, vocational or technical. He's making college and career savings and getting unclaimed money easier than ever. Don't let another day go by without claiming your cash or jumpstarting a career. Treasury.ms.gov.
Progressive provides...
Say who that?
When the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in.
Oh, my.
We're almost there, Nelly.
Oh, my. It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
You have turned over from baseball to football.
We have to now. We must. They're playing the football out there, and then American football will be coming.
That's right, pretty soon.
NFL
pretty
preseason, soon. August 15th, the Jags and the Saints.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, I thought crazy. I'd bring the
just
heat
crazy.
This morning. You know?
Just crazy. Fun stuff. By the way, today, our backgrounds for you, those of you who are happy to join us on Supertalk.tv, our backgrounds are from my friend C.J. Garrett. These are photos from the Ross Barnett Reservoir, and she just has a beautiful eye. I really appreciate the rainbow, but I also really very much appreciate this beautiful sunset that she has provided
for us. I used the rainbow and while we were doing our picks and
tried
to use the sunset.
Yep.
The normal backdrop.
The average day.
I think there was it was very appropriate to have a rainbow finally.
Yeah.
So we knew that this wasn't going to last forever.
And that's the good news. You can like the weather, but just wait a day. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be something different. Today is Helen Keller Day, and for people who have never heard of Helen Keller, she's probably the most famous human being on the earth, whoever was blinded and made deaf as a baby. She was less than 2 years old when she got sick. There were a lot of fevers and things that did that to people in those eras, that it doesn't happen anymore. But she was born in West Tuscumbia, Alabama, and she is famous. If you've never seen any of the plays and books and things about her, you should do that, because she is an absolute symbol of getting over whatever it is that the world thinks you can't do and just doing it. She is also a tremendous inspiration for radio people, because one of the things that we're always taught is we're talking to one person and they can't see us. Okay, so that's another piece of her legacy. One of the things that I'm really fascinated by, too, that's going on today, it's bingo day. And I don't play bingo nearly enough, but I really love that it came from a game called Il Guicio del Lotto d'Italia.
Okay. It's Italian?
Yeah. I'm figuring it had something to do with... No, I shouldn't say that. Never mind. 1530 is when this happened.
Bingo is a little shorter.
Bingo is a little shorter.
They figured out to get a little bit more marketing out of that, I think.
I think they gave it better, not such a short shrift, as it were. But I'm always interested to know about people who play bingo, because some people are very serious about it, and some people will go and watch other people play bingo. You know, it's an interesting game. It's like everything else. It has its fans and its detractors, but it also has an awful lot of people that are spectators, which you might not think about in that particular world.
There's one thing that's really interesting about bingo, too, not that I'm a player, but that in the digital age, as we've progressed, you know, out of people actually meeting and doing stuff together, where bingo's actually hung on. One of the few pastimes, it seems to...
Virtual bingo did not make it during the pandemic. There were a lot of people that were wishing, but it lacked that community. Right. It lacked that conviviality of being in the same place at the same time. So where it has come back full force. I also hear there are a lot more dance contests than there were before the pandemic, because people couldn't go out. And, you know, we're Americans. You tell us we can't, we're going to try. That's what we're like. That's who we are. That's how come we have a country that we can take care of. That's what we're doing. Now, for you, as you go forward into today, remember that house moss is another term for dust bunnies. I'm really fond of that. And please also... I'm going to take this one. I can't repeat most of your jokes. Not that they're filthy, but they're just off taste for Garden Mama. Nellie thinks they're funny, though. But nomenclature for what I'm doing with my gnomes, I think, has a certain ring to it. I like that. I'm going to steal that word. Thank you for sending that to me. And no, I don't think you'll find it in any dictionary. So,
I mean, we made one up this morning.
We got one. We have a brand new word, which is pretty cool when you think about it. Well, I guess we should tell folks that we'll be back after the 4th of July.
Yeah, there will not be a live show.
We will have a lovely collection of rebroadcast bits. Here's the deal. I've been doing this a long time, and I honestly don't remember when the 4th of July fell on a Saturday. So since it's rarer than a blue moon, we decided that would be the good time to make Lance take a couple of days.
Yeah, you forced me to. You know, oh, yeah, that's right. We have a holiday. I really appreciate you taking the lead on that, because you know me. I'm going to show up. I love my Garden Mama and Handyman show. So,
well, it's,
we all need a day to relax.
We need a day. We need a day. My studio will not be my studio next week, but the following week it will be right back into its present state. Oh, that's cool. I'm looking at that photograph of all those daylily roots. Good grief, that's some beautiful plant roots. I love daylilies. Oh, that reminds me, coming up in September, I've got a lot to talk about for September, but one day around here, we're actually going to get Eddie Smith up in the studio. We've been working on that for a long time. But, it took Mark Peaches Patrick to make that happen. But he breeds daylilies, and one of the many things that he does, he's a brilliant horticulturist, but one of the things he does best is to breed daylilies. And I'm telling you, we're going to learn some stuff. That's just gorgeous. If you're growing stapeliads, I hope yours are blooming, because they sure are fun. They're one of those plants that looks like it should be in Dr. Seuss's garden. Doesn't because it? The flower is so much softer looking than the big stiff plant that it comes from. And its smell, of course, we're glad we don't have smell-o-vision today.
Because it looks like it would smell a little fishy. I mean, it looks like a starfish from the bottom of the Marianas Trench or something.
Yeah, it blooms. It opens at night with a particularly obnoxious scent so that its pollinating moth can find it.
Okay, so there's only one thing that really likes it.
There's a few that'll go there, but only one that it's looking for. So there you have that. Wow. All these things. Y'all are great. These are great questions. Y'all did some really good ones today. Wish your show was on TV. It is at supertalk.tv.
And you can go to the browser and hit it and go to Garden Mama live. You can also hit it on the app if you'd like to. So, or C Spire Television.
Yep. Any
we'll also have this show posted on YouTube here in a little while.
It does have all of this.
Yeah,
visual.
And have every bit of it. Got you covered.
Do you know that people are funny? People comment on my hair. Mm-hmm. People comment on, you look like you need a haircut. They never say that I don't look like I need a haircut.
Well, if you got one cut every time they said that,
I'd be flat wearing
top,
a pixie.
G.I. Jane.
Yeah, I'd be wearing that. I would definitely be doing...
I actually watched G.I. Jane yesterday. The dogs loved it.
Oh, my goodness. You know, you don't think of, there's a lot of movies you don't think about. That was a good movie.
Heck yeah, it is. I've seen it so many times.
I don't want to see it again,
movie,
but it was a good movie.
I like it. It's good. It's rough in certain spots and really cool. But yeah, that's if you kept cutting your hair, you'd end up with the buzz cut.
Mm-hmm. Corinne's got something. She's got skeletonizing insects on her sweet potatoes. And yes, the answer is that you're going to spray it every 8 days with either pyrethrin or with Captain Jack's, with spinosad. Either one of those two things.
I had my first sweet potato chips I'd seen in a gas station. And I went with, like, there was like a light dusting of ranch on them. And I was like, man, I'll pick these things. I'll try them. I was a little hungry. And I popped that thing open.
They did that for
man,
the World
they
Cup.
Were so good, though. Those sweet potato chips. Love
somehow
them.
Or another, sweet potatoes and ranch does not appeal to me.
I feel it
would be wonderful.
It actually, yeah. That's why I was like, I've got to try this. I mean, sweet potatoes and ranch. Okay. And it was really good. So, yeah, I'm on the sweet potato train.
Well, in the update on the ranch dressing business for the people who have been here, they're not only getting individual packets from the Kraft folks, but UPS has given them a deal on shipping. So
yay.
You can go ahead and lovely do all that. Now. Thanks, y'all. Happy Independence Day. We'll be back after that.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
It's a laid-back Sunday afternoon you wish would never end.
The homemade taste of bluebell and good friends gathered round. The good old days are being made right now.
Our American dream is ice cream. Red, White, and Bluebell is our strawberry ice cream loaded with strawberries, alongside creamy vanilla and blueberry ice cream with real blueberries. A full half gallon of Red, White, and Blue ice cream. Feel free to celebrate.
The good old days are being made right now.
The good old days are being made.
Look for Bluebell ice cream at your local grocer and pick up your favorite flavor today.
You're great at protecting. A SuperTalk Mississippi Media Production.